Is that a question? Come closer, remember. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف شرف كبيرنا رواه الترمذي وأبو داود رحمه الله تعالى رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم says, ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف شرف كبيرنا. One who does not show mercy to our young ones, nor acknowledges the honor and status of our seniors, is not of us. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned two qualities which are encouraged, which should be part of one's deen. And to emphasize these two qualities in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the one who has these two qualities, he's not from us. He's not part of our group. What does that mean? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that he might be a Muslim. He might have iman. But I don't include him as part of my group. Why? Because the qualities which I have, the qualities which I expect to see in a Muslim, he is missing them, or he is missing some vital components of them. It is just like there is a company, and it is a company that is running in a specific field. So every worker will be expected to have certain skills. Now if there is a worker that has somehow ended up in the company, but he is lacking in one vital skill, or he is lacking in another vital skill, then he will be a worker of the company. He will be an employee. But other employees will say that he is not fit to be here. In the same way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this person, the person who doesn't have these two qualities, my expectation, what I see in a Muslim, when I look, what do I identify to be a Muslim? This person doesn't have it. And this could also mean that the person who doesn't have this quality, he is not from my group. That means that he will not be with me in Jannah. That means that initially when I go into Jannah, and when the pious Muslims, those who have these qualities and other qualities, they follow, then he may have to be punished first. So that tells us the extreme importance of these two qualities. What are these two qualities? The first is that he has love for our juniors, he shows mercy to our juniors, to our young, and he acknowledges the honor and status of our elders. Now, to understand the importance of this hadith, we need to understand that deen pays special attention to the condition of a person's heart. It is not just the case that a person, he is performing salah, he is giving his zakat, he is reciting his Quran, he is staying away from the misuse of the tongue, from the misuse of the eyes. These are all important as well, extremely important. They are not insignificant. But there are two portions of deen. One portion of deen is that portion which is connected to the outer limbs. This portion is called a'mal, in shari'i words. And another portion is that portion of deen which is connected to the heart. This portion, in deen calls it akhlaq. Sometimes we call akhlaq outer manners as well, but deen calls this portion akhlaq. And part of what is akhlaq? For example, a person, he has mercy and compassion in his heart. That is akhlaq. A person, he has a humility in his heart, that he doesn't think much of himself. That is akhlaq. On the flip side, just like you get good amal, you get evil amal. So it's just like you get good akhlaq, you get evil akhlaq. A person has pride in his heart. He thinks he is superior to others and he looks down on others. A person, he has hatred for other Muslims in his heart. A person, he has a hard heart, he doesn't have feeling for other people. When he hears someone else's adversity, he doesn't feel anything. These are all evil qualities of the heart. And just like a person will be questioned,
questioned regarding the a'mal of the physical limbs, a person will also be questioned regarding the akhlaq, the qualities of the heart. If a person goes into the hereafter with jealousy in the heart, he will be questioned about it. That why did you come with this evil quality? You should have removed it before you came in the hereafter. And if a person goes into the hereafter with the quality of compassion and love for the Muslims, he will be rewarded for it. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith of Abu Dawud Sharif, that ma min shayin athqalu min fil mizani min husni al-khuluq. That there will be nothing more weighty in the scales on the Day of Judgment than good akhlaq. Good akhlaq refers to this. So this is an extremely important part of deen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he is highlighting two qualities. The first is that a person has mercy and compassion in his heart. And specifically, in general for everyone, but specifically for the young. One sahabi, he was in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a villager. And a child was brought in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Either it was one of his grandchildren, Sayyidina Hassan or Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, or it was someone else. But this child was brought. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the child affection. He kissed the child. Now this villager, in astonishment, he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have 10 children and I have not kissed any one of them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what can I do if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has snatched away mercy and compassion from your heart? Meaning that mercy, compassion for other people and for juniors especially, is something which is an extremely important part of our deen. And if a person doesn't feel it, then he should understand that there is something missing in my heart. Just like if a person doesn't feel compassion and mercy for the general masses as well, deen teaches us that every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves compassion, mercy. Within those humans in particular deserve compassion and mercy. And within those Muslims in particular deserve compassion and mercy. So if a person hears about someone's adversity, for example, and it doesn't hit his heart, it doesn't leave any feeling in his heart. If it was his own adversity, it would leave an effect in his heart. But he hears about someone else's adversity, then he should understand that I am deficient here. So this is the first quality which is being discussed in this hadith. That a person brings mercy and compassion, especially for juniors. And in general, the second quality is also an extremely important quality. And in today's era, this is probably the quality which is more lacking in the ummah. What is that? That is reverence, acknowledging the honor and status of the seniors. Today's current mentality is that you have to earn respect. So people think that if I will only respect that person who has earned my respect. The deeni mentality is that there are certain people who are senior because of certain qualities and they deserve respect whether in your eyes they have earned it or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a label of seniority because of which they deserve respect. And this is something very important to understand, that deen has a totally different mentality to the secular mentality, in the sense that deen is all about making sure that we fulfill other people's rights first. And the secular mentality is all about making sure that I get my rights from other people first. I'm not saying that a person cannot fight for his rights, he cannot claim for his rights. But more important than that is making sure that he fulfills other people's rights. The deeni mentality is that the secular mentality is my relatives or people associated to me should treat me well. If they don't treat me well, why should I treat them well? The deeni mentality is that never mind what they are doing, that is secondary. That I will worry about secondly. Number one priority, I should make sure that I am fulfilling my rights and treating them well. The secular mentality is that my parents deserve my obedience, they deserve my respect, they deserve my support. If they have done their bit, if they look after me, they look after me, they show me love. The deeni mentality is that is second. If they don't fulfill your rights, they will be taken to task in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my priority is that I should fulfill their rights, whatever their behavior is. To the extent that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that regarding non-Muslim parents, that a person he has iman, but his parents are non-Muslim. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا. The verse of the Quran says to this extent that if they not only refuse to accept Islam, they encourage you to leave Islam. They pressure you to leave Islam. Then what does the Quran say? فَلَا تُطِعُهُمَا. Don't obey them. Because you cannot break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their sake. But after that, immediately deen says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've given the command, don't obey them. But don't think that that command, that don't obey them, means that be harsh to them. Stop fulfilling the right. No. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Live with them, treating them well in this world. Sayyidina Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anha had two well-known daughters. One of them is more well-known than the other, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. The other is Sayyidina Asma radiallahu anha. And their father is the same, but their mothers are different. So Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha's mother accepted Islam from a very early age with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. Sayyidina Asma radiallahu anha's mother did not accept Islam. So after they migrated to Medina Munawwara, then a time came when there was a peace treaty between Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. People were allowed to travel. So Sayyidata Asma radiallahu anha's mother, she traveled to Medina Munawwara to see her daughter. Now when she came, then Sayyidata Asma radiallahu anha, she was a bit confused because she had never come into this situation before. That Nabi sallallahu, on one hand, I have heard so much from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding respecting the parents. They are one's senior, they deserve one's respect, one's love, one's care. And on the other side, it is a non-Muslim. So she went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or she sent a question to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that my mother has come. And she made it clear, my mother has come and she has no interest in accepting Islam. وَهِيَ رَاغِبَةٌ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. She has no accept. But should I still behave well with her, to look after her, treat her well? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, most definitely. So this is the mentality of deen. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was once explaining to a sahaba radiallahu anhu what will happen after his demise. So he said to a sahaba radiallahu anhu that soon a time will come when such people will rule over you, who will give others preference over you. Meaning you will be treated unfairly. So, when a person is treated unfairly, then there is no harm in asking for his rights. So, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, but the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they were held to a very high level of amal, of amal. So, one Sahabi, he asked that when that time comes, then what should we do? Should we fight? Should we refuse to obey this Amir, whoever has been placed in charge? So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that give them their right. وَسَلُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّهُمْ. And as for your right, ask for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a mentality of deen. That we fulfill other people's rights. If deen says someone is our senior, or if deen says someone should be looked after, or if deen says someone should be treated well, then whatever they are doing, we need to do our job. And the misunderstanding comes because we think we are doing it for their sake. This is my relative, so I am treating him well for his sake. No, it has nothing to do with him. You are treating him well because you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, he is your relative, but that means if he treats you well, alhamdulillah, then you have two reasons. One reason is that he is treating me well, so I will also treat him well. And the other reason is it will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he is not treating you well, he has become your enemy, then I have no interest in pleasing him, but I have interest in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I will treat him well. And if one's parents, hypothetically speaking, one's parents, they also turn away from a person, they don't fulfill his rights, they don't bring him up well, then again, need teach others that for the sake, it is not, you are not fulfilling their right because to please them, you are obeying them, treating them as your senior, giving them respect because you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also a very important quality, that people who deen has taught us to be our senior, then their status is understood, they are respected, and they are honored. And again, like we said, this is not for our benefit, this is not for their benefit, that person will benefit. No, if the benefit, alhamdulillah, it is for our own benefit, it is a part of our deen. And here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning that respecting and honoring the seniors. So seniors can be on multiple types. Someone can be one senior in age. He is worthy of respect. Someone can be one senior in generation, similar to age. He's one's parents, one's older relatives. They are worthy of respect. Someone can be one senior in piety. But this person, he is the same age as me, or he is junior to me, but I know that he is more pious, he is close to Allah, he is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what I understand, looking at his life. There also, he is my senior, so I will give him respect. Someone can be our senior in ilm, in knowledge, that he is junior to me, but in terms of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him more. So he has one aspect of superiority over me. So I will give him respect, I will give him honor. And in regards to this, if you look at the pious people of the past, we find amazing incidents. We find incidents that a student and the teacher meet, and the student respects the teacher because he thinks, this is my teacher, this is my ustad. But the ustad recognizes that this is my student, although this person is my student, he is more pious than me. So the ustad is also respecting the student. There is a very famous name from amongst the teachers of Darul Uloom Deoband, Allama Ibrahim Baliawi Rahmatullah Ali. He was a senior teacher, a teacher of Hadith in Darul Uloom Deoband. And Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who is the Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shaf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, is Allama Ibrahim Baliawi Rahmatullah Ali's student from Darul Uloom Deoband. So Allama Ibrahim is a teacher, and Shah Wasiullah Sahib is a student. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we said, sometimes the student excels past the teacher. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Shah Wasiullah Sahib the tawfiq to worry about his piety, about his islah. From an early age, he got connected to Hazrat Maulana Shaf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he became very pious and renowned for his piety. Now a time came when Allama Ibrahim Baliawi Rahmatullah Ali was a teacher in Darul Uloom Deoband. He thought to himself that I need to find the sheikh, I need to find the spiritual mentor. And in those times, people, for the sake of deen, they didn't have any embarrassment. They didn't think that I need to benefit from this person from a deeny point of view. My heart tells me that if I go to this person, I will benefit from my deen. But he is 10 years my junior. He is 20 years my junior. I saw him growing up. It will be embarrassing if I go and sit there. People in this community see me as a status. If I go and sit in front of a junior, the people in the past, for the sake of the deen, they didn't have these worries. So Allama Ibrahim Baliawi Rahmatullah Ali, he is looking for a sheikh, for a spiritual mentor. And there were many people around in that time. But his heart told him, his heart decided that at this time, the most beneficial person, the person whom my heart is most inclined to, is Shah Wasiullah Sahib, who is his student. So he went to him and he made him his sheikh. But the people who were there, and the people who saw both of them meeting each other, would say that one is the ustad and the other is the student. But the student is now the sheikh and the ustad is the murid. So when they would meet each other, both of them would have full respect for each other. So this aspect of reverence, respect, seniority is a very important part of our deen. It's not something which is assigned to culture. That some people think that this adab, respect for other people, that you know, when you see a person's parents, he doesn't walk in front of them, he opens the door for them, people who are senior in terms of, from a dini point of view, this is all part of culture. It is not all part of culture. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw two sahaba radiallahu anhu walking together. One is Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the other is Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Both of them are senior sahaba. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is superior to Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Sahaba radiallahu anhu is as well, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of course said. Now, Sayyidina, they are both working, they are both friends. But despite this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he noticed that they are both walking together, and Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is walking in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You would think, what's a big deal? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't think, what's a big deal? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed it out. He said to Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that are you walking in front of a person who after the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, there is no one better? And you are walking in front of him, don't walk in front of him, walk behind him. And in hadith when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was mentioning the rights of the parents, he said one right is that a person, he doesn't walk in front of his parent. He, as far as possible, unless there is some need or something, that is a different matter, he walks behind them. This is within the very mentality of deen. This is so ingrained within the mentality of deen that once Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the two senior most sahaba we are talking about, a discussion was taking place. And the discussion was regarding some matter. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, there you can say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the chief. And they were his two closest advisors. He would ask them for mashwara. So if there was a discussion to be made, then they would discuss it as well. And when a discussion happens, then one person will give an idea. The other person will refute it. He will say, that's not a good idea for this reason. All of this happens in discussion. There is nothing wrong with it. And in a discussion, it also happens that sometimes someone's voice is raised. There is also no harm in this. But this discussion happened. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's voice was raised. And this happened in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the senior. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in the Quran to admonish them. Admonish who? Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. For what? Something we think is nothing. That their voices were somewhat raised in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse of the Quran that لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي, that don't raise your voices in above the voice of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And regarding this verse of the Quran, the Mufassirin have said this verse doesn't just apply to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this verse applies to anyone who is one senior in deen and ilm, that deserves the same rules of respect. This is something that we need to understand, we need to adopt. And we also need to ingrain within our children and people who are around us that this is part of deen. It's a very important part of deen. How important is it, a part of deen is it? Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, this is a statement of his that he says that how much a person's adab, respect, reverence for anyone or anything connected to deen will increase, that is how much his deen will increase. How much his adab, respect, reverence for people and things connected to deen will increase, that is how much his deen will increase. And however much deficiency there is in his adab, in his reverence, in his respect for people and things connected to deen, that is how much deficiency there will be in his deen. Just like there are people, there also things, the masjid, it is a place worthy of respect. The Quran is a place worthy of respect. Any deeni book, it is a place worthy, it is something worthy of respect. And when we were in Darul Uloom, our teachers would go to this extent that they would say that pen which you used to write the words of ilm, words connected to deen, it is an ordinary pen, but now because you are writing words connected to deen with it, now that is also worthy of respect. So don't put your pencil case on the floor, put it on the table. So let us ingrain these two qualities within ourselves. Number one, that we have mercy for other people, compassion, feeling, especially for juniors. And secondly, we have respect for anyone who is our senior, whether it is in age, whether it is in piety, whether it is in knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice among what has been said. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله